Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Future Focus Now. Thank you for joining us for another episode. We appreciate the company. We appreciate you joining us every week and making Future Focus Now one of the most watched, one of the most talked about webcasts in America. And I'm glad to join you. Tonight, we have a very special program. When I think about August, and I've been in higher education now for 35 years, and every August, I start thinking about the start of school, start thinking about the next semester, and what the next semester looks like. And this year is no different, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic and so many things are happening in this country. There's one thing for sure, there will be school in some form. The modality may be different, it may be online, it may be hybrid, it may be face-to-face, but I can assure you there will be higher education going on in this country. And so as we prepare for a new semester, and as we think about what that new semester might look like, in that new academic year, what I have tonight is a group of individuals that can help us think about what that might look like, what this year in higher education might look like. We talk a lot in the HBCU community, the HBCU world, about the HBCU experience, and it is an experience like none other. You can ask alumni, you can ask the students who attend these universities, and tonight I have four HBCU students that we can have a conversation with about what they expect and what they think that this year will be like. I've invited four amazing students from Winston-Salem State University, except one, he's transferred, but he's still a Ram, and we'll talk to him in just a moment in terms of why he transferred, but even though he transferred to another university, HBCU, he's still a Ram. Have four students that come from all over this country. When you think about HBCU students, they come from everywhere. One comes from Las Vegas, Nevada. One comes from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One comes from Fayetteville, North Carolina. And one comes from Oxford, North Carolina. And so you can see they come from all over the country. But what they bring is some amazing things. Not only the work they have done in the classroom, but the work that they've done outside of the classroom. And so I want you to meet them as we have a conversation with them. They are always and will be referred to as Gen Zers. What are Gen Zers and who are these individuals? I can tell you, they're amazing. They're changing how we see the world. They're changing how they brand and market themselves. They're going into some spaces. They're bold as they go into these spaces, and they're making a name for themselves. What I tell people every day, being chancellor of a university is so encouraging, because every day I go to work, I see something amazing, and I see students accomplishing the impossible. So I'm not worried about our future, because our future is in good hands. And tonight's conversation will let you know that we are indeed good hands. Welcome to the program. We have Danielle Berry, Justin Ross, Navier Adams, Shamora Stewart. Is that right? Did I get everybody's name right? Hey, look, I know all of y'all. I know your faces. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me on short notice. You're doing amazing things. Let me let you introduce yourselves to the HBCU world and to the HBCU community and to Future Focus Now. So first up, I'm going to ask Shamora Stewart to introduce herself, because she is Miss Senior, and I want to come back to her a little later and see what her expectations are for the senior year. She has an amazing platform. I looked at her platform. She said her platform is the Golden Print. I'm going to let you talk to us a little bit about what that is, Shamora. Introduce yourself to the Future Focus Now audience.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Shamora Stewart. I'm from Oxford, North Carolina. I am a double major. I am a nursing and a biology major on a pre-med track, and I am a senior. I will be serving this school year as the 2020-2021 Miss Senior. I ran on the platform, the Golden Print, which was basically an initiative dedicated to purpose and alignment of excellence. intertwining leadership, empowerment, and success into our academic school year, preparing us to be great for post-grad.
Thank you. Welcome to Future Focus Now. Navier Adams, I've known Navier for a long time. I would see him on campus. He would do campus tours. He's a young man. He's an entrepreneur. He has his own business now for about 10 years. It's amazing. And he'll talk a little bit about that later on. Introduce yourself to the Future Focus Now audience.
Good evening. I am Navier Adams. I am a transferred junior at Fayetteville State University, majoring in health and physical education on a sports management concentration. Born and raised in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I am the owner of Navi Sweet Treats, owner and operator.
Yeah, if we get a chance to talk about that, that's some cool stuff. Then we have Justin Ross. Justin is a business administration major from Philadelphia. He actually plays a lot of golf. He'll tell you why you should play golf and how that can open up some doors for you. He's also on the men's basketball team, believe it or not. So he will be getting a championship ring pretty soon. Welcome to Future Focus Now. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself. You're on mute.
Sorry. First, thank you, Chancellor Robinson, for having me and having the opportunity to tell my story and tell the HBCU world and just the world in general about who I am. I'm Justin Ross, senior business administration major, a minor in finance. I'm hailing from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And again, just happy to have the opportunity to share this platform with you guys.
Glad to have you. And then my last guest is Danielle Berry. Danielle is a volleyball player, extraordinaire volleyball player, one of the top volleyball players in the CIAA, but she's also been doing some amazing work over the past year and this summer with NASA. So she's going to be an astronaut one day. No, I just say that. I have not heard you say that. I don't know if you're going to be an astronaut or not. Tell us a little bit about you, Danielle.
Okay, my name is Danielle Berry, and I'm a senior exercise science major at Winston-Salem State University, and I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I love playing volleyball, and I love exploring the world. I love exploring, and I love what NASA has to offer.
We'll get into that a little bit in terms of the work that you're doing. So one of the things I'm interested in from the four of you, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of conversations around returning to school. There's a lot of conversations around what the academic year might look like. And I'm wondering if you have developed or what your perspective is on how you think this year is going to go. How is it going to unfold? And give me, look into your crystal ball and tell me what you think. What are things that you think will work well, that are exciting, and what are the things that you think that we won't be able to do? And then I'm going to come back to you later on and ask you, how can we make this better? So anyone start?
I can go first. I think that, you know, when you think about HBCUs, you think about the face-to-face contact, the family atmosphere, the love within each other. Seeing somebody, give them a hug, a handshake, a dap, or just give somebody a compliment, or just seeing a teacher or your professor on the campus yard. I think it's kind of hard because we don't get that this year. And, you know, many students, they came to HBCUs for that experience. And even though we can't get that experience just in smaller settings, I know that as HBCUs for the past 150 years, we have overcame obstacles. So I know that, you know, down the line, I say, you know, maybe September, October, and even November, I know that we will overcome and we will find ways to make our experience better.
Yeah, I love the optimism. Shamora, what do you think? Miss Senior, is your senior year? I know you were looking forward to a lot of different things and a lot of things are going to happen too. We understand that, but tell me where you are today as you think about this year.
Well, honestly, starting out, I was a little bit hesitant, a little bit nervous about everything. But granted, taking the opportunity that the school did do the social distancing and the prior arrangements in order for us to be safe, which is the most important goal this school year is to remain safe and to remain healthy. That's the most important goal this school year. But picking back off of what Navier said, the HBCU atmosphere is the family atmosphere. And yes, this is an obstacle, but I don't feel as if that family connection and that atmosphere will change much, simply because I have already had faculty members call me and reach out to me just to check on, just to see how I'm doing. I had teachers emailing me over the summer just to check on me, just to see how I'm doing. I do feel as if we are taking the proper precautions to remain safe and to remain healthy. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about, you know, we're kind of all in this together. What have you seen so far in terms of your interactions with your classmates and with students who are returning to campus? Shamora, you've been on campus, you've talked to people?
Yes, I have. I've actually reached out to, a bunch of people have reached out to me personally. And I will say, speaking for just senior class in general, a lot of people are nervous, a lot of people are scared, but we all know that's something that you actually should be, because this is a pandemic and this is something that we've never experienced before. So a lot of people are nervous, but just trying to tell people to remain positive, do the things to ensure that you're practicing the things that you need to practice, because it only takes one person to lead and everyone else will start to follow and become a leader for someone else to follow them.
Yeah, and rightly so. And I love that perspective. And you are a student leader. As your role as a student leader, how do you feel your part is in helping us get through this?
I think my part, number one, is being the leader, being a leader, one of the leaders. I feel as if pushing people, motivating people to say, hey, you know, you're scared, but if you're not even doing the proper precautions, there's no need to be scared. So taking that step above to, even if it's just going class to class to remind people, here is, you know, here's some sanitizing, here's an extra mask if you need an extra mask, because being that I have programmed for the school year for some of my events include me passing out masks or passing out hand sanitizer, just to show folks that, like, we still care. Even though this is a pandemic, we still care about you. We still, you know, we still have to take the proper precautions to make sure that you're safe. And so being that I am a senior, I feel as if that is the number one step, is for me to be a leader and to lead by example, because I can't push for something that I'm not even doing. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Good point. Danielle, you are, as we mentioned, in terms of the opening of a volleyball player. Now, the CIAA, as well as the NCAA, has said that we would not have fall sports, which includes volleyball. So I can't have you talk about your year without talking about that. We'll get into some of the great things you're doing, but from an athletic standpoint, speak a little bit to that when you found out about it, how you thought, what were some of your thoughts?
At first, definitely a little upset over the fact that I'd lose out on the big senior season. This is the year that I was excited to take pictures of my jersey, take pictures of my senior friends, do the whole senior night thing. But as I thought about it more, as it resonated, I realized this was right. This was what was supposed to happen in order to keep everyone safe, like previously stated. Volleyball is it's a contact sport. You'd be interacting with a lot of different people. So I feel like my safety is a lot more important than having that big senior night. I had one in high school, and there'd be other opportunities to play. It's a temporary standstill, but it's a necessary standstill.
I got you. Now, when you think about that in terms of athletics and not being able to play volleyball, what do you see? How do you see your year unfolding?
Similar to how my spring season would unfold, I would say. I hope that in the near future, we may have the opportunity to work out as a team, perhaps doing conditioning, just getting prepared for the spring season, since the season technically is postponed until the spring. So I see myself conducting business as if I were in the spring season of my typical school year. So morning workouts, going to class, making sure we stay in shape together, and making sure we interact with each other and stay on one accord.
Great. Justin, senior year coming up, you go into your senior year already identified where you're going to be working. That has to be motivating and uplifting to you. Talk about going into your senior year.
Sir, going into my senior year, already securing, locking down My career path is a blessing. I just can't thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ enough for that, and just my family. And then just thinking about the experience when we talk about Winston, when we talk about the family atmosphere, as my colleagues have said, just how do we reinvent that experience? Because when we talk about Winston, we're talking about a chancellor. I'm running out at the tunnels of the basketball games. Chancellor's there shaking our hands every time we run out at the basketball games. And you talk.
I don't
about
tell that. People that.
And then you talk about that sixth man and the games gymnasium, and it's just like, oh, that's not going to happen this year. And it's just like, where do we go from here? But, you know, just like Shamor has said, how do we reinvent that experience and keep that camaraderie amongst our peers, but at a safe distance, at a social distance? So like I said, going back to myself, I'm blessed to be able to say that I locked down a career going into my senior year, and just having to be able to maintain that notion that we need to maintain safe. So yep. That's really all I've been thinking about, that just those two things, those two wheels.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you, for the four of you, I'm extremely excited about what you're doing. I'm glad you decided to come on the show. You make me proud in terms of the work that you're doing. I believe that this is going to be a wonderful year, and it's going to be a special year because of individuals such as yourself. And thinking about reinventing and reimagining, that's what I wanted this show to be about. Let's talk a little bit about now. One of the things that we talk a lot about at Winston-Salem State, something called high impact practices. Like, we want folks doing something beyond the classroom, getting involved in extracurricular type activities, getting involved in internships, externships, and research and so forth. And you guys have all taken advantage of those high impact practices. One of the things that we know about Gen Zers is that you are carving out your own path. We know that about 60% of Gen Zers say they're going to own their own business, that they're going to make their own way, that they're going to carve out their own path. And so I have no doubt, as we go into this year, that you guys will be creative, you'll be innovative, because that's who you are, and you will change this into something positive. So let me talk a little bit with you in terms of the work that you've done. I'm going to go back to you, Danielle, because I'm really intrigued about the work that you're doing in terms of your internship. So that's a high impact practice. Tell us what you've been doing at NASA.
Alrighty. Well, since the summer of 2019, I was able to, the basis of this project, is basically about neuropathy, how neuropathy affects someone's ground reaction forces and gait cycles as they're walking.
Wait, calm down.
I'm sorry.
You don't want to lose the host. I mean, there may be some people out there that understand what you're doing, what you're saying. You mean that's your research?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. You started with the research. Go ahead.
Okay, so I started with what the research is about. So how neuropathy, which is the degeneration of your nerve cells in your hands and feet, specifically focusing on the feet, how that affects someone's ground reaction forces and gait cycle when they're walking. So if someone has an altered gait cycle, when the way they walk is typically altered. So I correlate that research into moving forward and how I can apply that to astronauts returning from space.
Until what?
How the neuropathy can affect astronauts returning from space.
After returning from space?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Rest of y'all follow that? I got it. You got it. But I'm interested in your internship and how you got your internship. I read that you got your internship during the CIAA tournament or something, and you went to some event and that it culminated in you getting an internship at NASA. Talk to me about that.
It was awesome. So I attended through the Career Center on campus in Hill Hall. I attended Career Fair. It was $5 to go. And you just paid $5 for a seat on the bus. And we rode out to Charlotte to the CIAA basketball tournament. And there's also Career Fair there. So we had tickets to the tournament. We could meet vendors. They were all walking around, meet alumni. It's a good, wholesome event. and I attended career fair, and there's a table there for NASA. And there, I didn't know at the time, I met the director of the research Langley Research Center. I met Clayton P. Turner, and he talked about NASA, what they have to offer, how their diversity inclusion, so not just engineers can apply, people of other different types of backgrounds can apply as well. And he suggested I apply, and I did, and it was great. I had the opportunity to attend an internship over the summer, and now have the opportunity to continue that internship through this fall semester as a virtual internship, and hopefully again in the spring. So yeah. I am a prolonged intern.
Well, great. So what do you do on your internship? What is that like? I mean, what is a typical day like on your internship at NASA?
Well, it's typically like a normal job. I would attend Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. So I would wake up in the morning, get ready for work. We have our badges. So we have to badge into the arsenal at Redstone Arsenal. It's an Army base. And then you drive to my lab. And I sit in my lab, I do my research, I look into things, I conduct projects, things of that nature. So I have the freedom and the ability to explore what my mind makes up and how, what I can, like, figure out what I can contribute towards the project. And I check in with my mentor often, and we have a really good relationship. I love my mentor because she's also a really good role model for me as someone that also came from an HBCU, a female HBCU attendee. She went to Tennessee State University, and I love the fact that she's a Black female in a male dominant kind of world, and she's making it, she's doing the thing, and she's thriving. So I feel like I can do that as well in the same type of environment.
Look, that's wonderful, and you got great mentors. I think mentors are extremely important. So I was kidding at the beginning, but I mean, do you want to be an astronaut?
That would be awesome. If I have the opportunity to go to space, I totally would. In the name of science.
I think that's wonderful. You know, would you go to Mars?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Shamara, would you go to Mars?
I don't know, Chancellor Robinson.
I like Earth pretty good.
I don't know about that.
It takes 7 months to get there.
Oh my goodness. I thought about that. I really, you know, they're really getting now thinking about making a man trip to Mars, you know, and I thought about that. I said, that'd be really cool to be able to do that, but I'm too old now to get into that space. Great. Thank you for telling us about your internship. Now, Justin, you play basketball, man, and you're a Chancellor Scholar, and you play golf, and you hang out with financial executives on the golf course. How do you manage, and how do you do all those things?
For me, I think I feel like playing basketball, playing all those sports in high school, kind of set me up for the time management thing and the discipline to do it in college. I feel like high school, you have to wake up 6 a.m., get ready for school. Sometimes you have practice before school. Then you got your classes all throughout the day. Then if you don't have practice before school, you have practice after school. Got to make time to eat dinner, and you want to get the time, you want to get to bed by a reasonable time. So I feel like high school was harder in terms of the time management thing than college. So doing all that in high school really prepared me for college. And then when you get to college, it's just really the discipline. That's, I really feel like that's the difference between regular people and great people, is that the discipline to do the things that regular people don't want to do on a daily basis. So that's really my mindset and my drive and determining force and doing what I do. Just the golf, the basketball, just the everything. So
yeah, and you mentioned the whole notion of discipline, but what is it about being a part of a team, a basketball team, the members of the team, there's a coaching staff. You talked about WSSU being a family environment. I know that's a family. Talk about that experience being a part of a basketball team. Talk a little bit about your year, and I'm not going to force you, but talk a little bit about Coach Hill, because I know he's listening and looking. So we might want to give him a shout out. Just talk about your experience on the basketball team.
Yes, sir. So I'll start with my freshman year coming in with 5-21. Not a great year. But being able to build that camaraderie with your brothers, you don't want to ever let your brother down, and losing those games is like you're letting your brothers down. But all of that amalgamating to this year, my junior year, winning a championship. If you would have told me 2 years ago we would win a championship this year, I would tell you, heck no, get out of here. So just seeing that buildup of from that program my first freshman year, and then having Coach Hill come in and just have the program turn around, it's bar none. Like, it's, I'm like, wow, that's just my whole reaction to the whole changing of the program. And then the other part of your question,
the other part was in terms of the experiences. I asked you if you wanted to talk about Coach Hill and his philosophy. I know you talked about him kind of turning it around. Mm-hmm. But did you want to give him a shout out? You don't have to. I mean,
I'll give Coach Hill a shout out. That's my guy. He'll tell you he's Jersey bred. They're crazy up in Jersey. So,
right.
But Coach Hill's a great guy. He's honest and he's forthright. He tells you how it is, and if you're doing something wrong, he'll call you out on it. But he's more. I feel like Coach Hill is a very laid back guy, but he gets the job done, and I really feel like that's where you see that change in the program and how you see 19-10 in the NCAA tournament, bro.
Right.
It was unfortunate that the NCAA tournament was canceled, but hey, we got those rings. So
Do you think that you would have won the championship
if we didn't have Coach Hill?
No. Do you think that you would have won the NCAA Division II championship?
Oh.
Do you think you would have won that?
I think we had a shot. If you guys would have been at the shoot around the day before we had to play that game, it was looking really scary for the field. Mm-hmm. I would take us.
I like it a lot. Navier,
yes,
10
sir.
Years, you've been doing a business for 10 years. Is that correct? Tell us about the business. A lot of folks locally know about it in terms of the work that you've done. How did you get into the business, and tell our audience what it is?
Okay, at 7 years old, I started taking Wilton cake decorating classes at Hobby Lobby. My mother, she took all three courses. At the time, she just said, you know, let me take my song along, and, you know, maybe he can get some good skills from this class. At the time, you know, it was no other kid in the class. There was no other man, no black man in the class either. So me coming into that class, you know, I was a little kid, you know, I'm very hands-on. I was creative. So, you know, I was down for making cakes, you know, of course you eat the cake too. So I said, okay, cool. The older I got, when I became 12 years old, my mother, she also does hair, and my father is also a hair distributor. So I would always go on my dad routes or being my mother's shop and sell cake. At the time I was selling pound cake loaves. I feel like I make the best pound cake around. So if you ever see me, I might got some pound cake, let me know, I might got you. The pound cake was amazing. When I got into high school, folks knew that I can cook. And they always said, man, you gotta bring some cakes to school one day. And when I turned 16, I created Navi Sweet Treats. I created Navi Sweet Treats because at the time I could not find me a job in Fayetteville. I was always applying for jobs and I would never get a job. And I said, okay, so what can I do to help me get some money in my pockets, build some skills, build some networks, and also create a good image for black males, because, you know, you don't see a lot of black men baking. So I kind of changed the narrative, and I kind of, you know, I also changed the narrative also by being an entrepreneur. At the time, you know, it was really not many people building a brand at the age of 16. So high school, 16, 17, I was selling cakes at my high school in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I went to Ezekiel Ezra E.E. Smith High School. It's about 1 minute from Fayetteville State, and it is one of the remaining four historically black high schools in North Carolina. I went there, you know, that gave me my HBCU experience before my HBCU experience. Every teacher, they either went to A&T, Western Southern State, North Carolina Central, or Fayetteville State. And every teacher, they always told me good stories of their HBCU experience. And they always told me about how, you know, how going to HBCU is going to build your character, but also build your network, and how you think that you're a minority here, when you go to your HBCU, you're going to be a majority. From there, I took Navi Sweet Treats to Winston-Salem State University, and from there it took off. I didn't think that it would take off as much as it did, but it has, and to this day, I always think about the love and support that WSSU has showed me for Navi Sweet Treats. My freshman year, I won Entrepreneur of the Year my freshman year. Sophomore year, I won it again. In my junior year, I was nominated for it, and just from that, I think it was a big thing. To me, food is another language for love, and I love caring for people. I love catering to people as well. So just, you know, me doing that on campus, the network, And when you're in the triad, you have other schools as well. So you have North Carolina A&T, UNCG, Wake Forest, Elon. So all those schools were also contacting me for, you know, cakes. And, you know, it was my take, my dream was just this small. That was my dream. I just wanted to get money in my pockets. But at the time, you know, I started seeing you really good at this. And my dream became reality. In May, I was in the Fayetteville Observer newspaper. I was obviously on the front cover, and that was a big thing. And ever since then, my business has grown. My business has been not only in Fayetteville, it's been from Fayetteville to Florida, New York, D.C., Charlotte, Raleigh, from Wilmington to all the way to the mountains of North Carolina. My business has expanded. And to me, I don't see how big it is, but it's big, and you know, I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. And this year, you were named the 2021 recipient of the ML King Building a Dream Award. I mean, what was that like?
My freshman year, I was nominated for it for doing the same thing. When I was in high school, and just me being in Fayetteville, North Carolina growing up, service was taught to me at an early age, service and sacrifice and being a servant leader. And when I got to campus, I said, okay, I'm about 2 hours away from home. So how can I still impact and influence the youth back home? And I said, you know, a Secret Santa initiative is good. So I created a project, and I want to know the Secret Santa initiative, to where 5 kids at the schools I went to, so elementary, middle, and high school, you know, 5 kids who are very perseverant, but who may not have, you know, a great Christmas this year, I would contact the social worker, and I would get anything that they needed, and I'll also get something that they wanted on their list. And I've been doing it 3 years straight. This is my 4th year of college. So I plan on doing that again this year for year 4. And it was a great thing. This year I did it again. Well, 2019 I did it for Christmas again. And every year it has got bigger and better, from raising $500 to $1,000 to $2,000. And just seeing the impact that I have, and just knowing that, you know, I had 2019, I had more gifts. I had more gifts to give. And I dropped them off to the Salvation Army and the Boys and Girls Club. And the people I give the gifts to, the kids, some see me and some don't see me, but I know that, you know, 5 years from now, when they get in high school or when they're older and they're in college, they're going to say, you know what, somebody had to look back for me and somebody took care of me. So I'm going to do the same thing for somebody else. And that's why I do the things I do, because I know sooner or later things are going to get better. That's why I always say, when you do good, good will come back to you. And when you do good for somebody, they're going to do good for somebody else.
Man, I love it. I love that. I love that approach. And thank you for all you do with your treats, man. They're wonderful. And do you have like a company? Is it just you? I mean, I get a sense that I see you making all this stuff, sending it all over the country. Do you have staff? How does that work?
I've been doing it by myself for a very long time. I have my mother, my father help me out. When it comes to the kitchen, packaging, labeling, everything is all from me in the mind and the heart. My freshman year, I was staying in Martin, and people will come to Martin just to see I'm not even in the kitchen. And they'll sit, you know, I'll blast my music, I'll play some good little R&B, make my cakes, and it smell good in there. And to this day, you know, that's one memory that I know that people will never forget. I can never forget. People 20 years from now say, man, you was in that kitchen, you was killing it all. And, you know, that's one thing that keeps you happy. And those things that, you know, when it comes to my business, it's not about the money. Over time, it wasn't about the money. Me knowing that I could touch people, and people say, man, your cakes, nobody has made a cake like that since my grandma passed away, my mom. And, you know, man, you hit it right on. And sometimes they even say you even did it better. So just the compliments and the comments and the love and appreciation that I get, and man, the money can't even touch that. You know, and every day that's my driving.
Right. You said that in terms of distribution, how many do you do? I mean, how many do you make, like, in a week or a month? How many cakes do you make and how many do you distribute?
Over time, I can do about 500 cakes a week, just about 500 cakes. And then I also started going to cookies, brownies, blondies, and, you know, banana pudding. So just collectively, I can probably make about 500 cakes a week.
And you put them all in these little jars? You put them in these?
Yes, sir. I do them in the jars. I started making cakes in the jar. At the time, nobody was taking the jar. It was something rare. People thought, why? Like, people thought, how do you do it? And so I still do the cakes in the jar. Because of COVID-19, jars have been gone. I guess people want to preserve their foods. But I do cakes in pans. I could do cake bowls, and I also do whole cakes as well. The whole cakes has been a pretty big thing now that people are having small gatherings, for their weddings or just small little get together. So birthday cakes have been a big thing so far.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, have you guys had his cakes? Have you, you tried his?
Lived and Martin together our freshman year, and I would come down, go and walk into practice. He's in the kitchen. He got the whole, he's taking over the whole kitchen with all his cakes. I'm like, what are you, yo?
Making those cakes. Shamara, a leader, Miss Senior, your ascension to leader. Tell us about your experience at Winston-Salem State and the kinds of things you've been involved in.
Well, I am currently a member of the Simon Green Atkins Honor Society. I'm a member of the Tri Beta Biology Honor Society. I'm a Team Boss member. I am a Thurgood Marshall College Foundation mentor. I was the 2019-2020 nursing class president. I was also the 2019-2020 Tri Beta Biology Honor Society vice president and the 2018-2019 SGA Executive Public Relations Officer. And also in 2019, I founded Shamar the SCN Scholarship, which awarded 4 students at Winston-Salem State, 2 biology students, and 2 pre-nursing students with a scholarship from myself.
Wow. Wow, that's impressive. I mean, thank you. I mean, how many scholarships have you given out?
I gave out 4 in 2019. So I did two biology students and 2 pre-nursing students who are nursing students now as of this summer.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you are a nursing major. So you interested in and you're interested in
your nursing what? Biology.
Nursing and what?
And biology.
Nursing and biology. So ultimately, what do you want to do with your career?
So post-graduation, I would like to become a labor and delivery nurse. And then also when I graduate, I would like to attend ECU's nursing practice program, which is the doctor or nursing practice program specializing in women's health. And then long term, I give myself 6-7 years, I would like to open up my own practice.
I got you. And so one of the things that in terms of nursing and biology, given what's happening in the country today, particularly around the, the pandemic and what we've seen about nurses and health professionals, across this country, what have you seen or thought, or how has that impacted how you want to go into nursing, if any?
Well, I currently, I work at Forsyth Medical Hospital, Forsyth Medical Center. And being that I am a student and I also have to, do clinicals along during the school year, I have seen some very heartfelt moments.
Yeah.
Being that COVID, they tell you the numbers and the cases, but they don't truly tell you the numbers and the cases because it's so scary. Being in nursing and being in the health science field, the STEM field, it's so amazing to see people progress, or it's so amazing to see people, just go from literally from sick to healthy. And it pushes me even more as a student nurse. It pushes me even more as a health science major to pursue my dreams and to pursue every single goal and aspiration that I have, because we are the leaders of tomorrow. We are our future. We are this generation. We are what's up next. So being that this pandemic has came, I will say, it has had its downfalls, but it's also been a blessing in my life. A blessing in disguise that I didn't know was going to be a blessing at first, because it has shown me that, nurses are at the front center of all of this. They are the people that's caring for the patients. They're the people that's there when family couldn't even be there. And I have seen so many nurses take a stand and even come from a nurse to becoming family with patients, because if your family can't visit, you feel alone and you feel scared. But the nurses have taken the role and the responsibility of being the nurse and remaining ethical, but also being and saying, hey, I can be your family for this short period of time and make you feel loved.
Yeah. No, that's a powerful perspective, and I appreciate that. And anyone who wants to go into nursing in the healthcare profession today, I tip my hat to them and I thank you. It's almost like you say you thank for your service, but I do think we have a different kind of perspective about nurses today, particularly what we've seen over the past, 6 months. I want to take you back to some things that you guys talked to me about earlier about being at an HBCU and kind of the family environment. He also talked about mentorship, and many of you are also in a position to mentor others. Take me through a couple of experiences that you had with mentors and a couple of experiences that you may have had that really had an impact on your life and what you will take away from that. So think back your time at an HBCU, who are those people that really encouraged you, supported you? What are those experiences that you will take away when you leave your university?
I have an example. Okay. I would for sure say my professors, 100%. I was invited to attend the American Sports College, ACSM. It's a society of exercise physiologists, exercise sciences. I was invited with Dr. Pitsley and Dr. Coronets and Dr. Chad and Chad Markert, and they invited me to come along to interact with people part of my field, interact with other people that are deep into exercise physiology and in the healthcare profession. And I feel like that type of experience is something I only would have gotten if I attended an HBCU. At my previous school, as a transfer student, I previously attended Greensboro College. Right. I had the small environment, I had the small community of my professors, but I didn't really feel that camaraderie with my professors, as they like really cared about my upbringing, what I wanted to do with life. I told them I wanted to work with astronauts. They brought me to this experience. They let me interact with people who have also done work with astronauts at this conference I was able to attend. So I really enjoyed the experience, and that's kind of what helped me propel me towards what I want to do with my future. So I definitely would say my professors are a huge support system for me, and without their guidance, without their letters of recommendations, without their expertise in my field of study, I don't think I'd be where I am today. Yeah. So I'm forever grateful for my professors.
One of the things that I've noticed about you, Danielle, being a transfer student, but immediately when you came to Winston-Salem State University, you got involved and you got engaged. Is that part of who you are? Did Winston-Salem State bring that out of you?
I would say so.
I mean, because you hit the ground running and you got engaged, and I would see you everywhere.
When I first attended Winston-Salem, I was a little hesitant. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to partake in Ramdition. So when everyone talks about Ramdition, I have a clue what you guys are talking about, but not really. I had volleyball, so I had other obligations that I had to attend to. So I do regret, looking back, that I did not partake in that, which didn't really help me transition as well when I first attended. But with the help from my mom, she was really pushing me to get more involved, join some clubs. I got the chance to join a jazz ensemble one semester, and that got me a little more acquainted with other members of campus that I wouldn't typically see on the day-to-day basis, being part of like the health science student athlete kind of world. So I got to interact with people who are part of the band, people part of jazz ensemble, people in the choir. And these are awesome people that some people don't take the time to slow down and interact with other peers that are interested in other things that you're typically not interested in. So after being able to immerse myself in many different types of pots and holes, I was able to get more acquainted with my peers and fit in more, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Justin, you're a legacy Ram, I understand.
Yes. Dad graduated from Winston in 92. He's Stephen A's roommate.
Really?
So they talk frequently. So they both play basketball together. So
little known fact, little known Black history fact from your dad. I think I met your dad. Yeah.
Yes. He's actually, I think he's in the other room watching us right now.
Oh, really?
I can hear the stream, so.
Yeah. That's great. Tell us about your experiences at WSSU. One or two things, takeaways that you're going to carry with you?
I think it's just really that family atmosphere. Growing up for me, I attended predominantly white schools. So not really struggling. I wouldn't struggle is the wrong adjective, but really WSSU really empowered that sense of self, kind of empowering who you are as a person, but also building that camaraderie and that brotherhood, sisterhood, just that, what I said, that family atmosphere with other people, and then how Navi said it earlier, you're going somewhere where you're not the minority, you're the majority. And I think that just really helps that term of empowerment and being able, I feel like I can do anything I want now. That's just like that. WSSU has done for me.
I like that.
I just feel like whatever I want to put my mind to, I can do it. And just even doing that with the Vanguard, where I'll be working next year, being able to have that conversation with a man that has no similarities. He's an old white man that has no similarities to who I am. And just being able to have, be able to build those commonalities, which will build those relationships to be able to, hey, I really like who you are as a person. I'm going to pay it forward. I want you to interview with my company. And just being able to build those skills, build those interpersonal skills, I really think that's what WSSU has done for me. So,
oh, fantastic, man. You know, I love it. Are you a better golfer or a basketball player, Justin?
I would say right now, I don't know. Right now, but I've been playing. Right now, I've been playing a lot of golf since the pandemic. I've been playing almost every day. I've been playing more golf than I've been playing basketball. And, you know, golf is just a sport you can play till you're 90 years old. So it's just one of those sports. It's not as taxing on the body.
What's the answer to the question? The question was, are you a better golfer or basketball player?
I'll say basketball player.
Okay. All right.
Basketball player. I know after I go into my career, I'll be playing a lot more golf than basketball. Though.
Gotcha. Shamar, give me a couple takeaways. What are you going to put in the vault and it's going to motivate you and you're going to carry with you?
Well, I definitely would like to name three people that will definitely forever have a space in my heart. And that would be Ms. Mae Gaudette, the alumni director, Ms. LaMonica Sloan, and Dr. Jill Keith. These three women have definitely had some major impacts on my life. First takeaway would definitely be that, you know, you never give up. Just because an obstacle comes in your life, it only means denial. I mean, it only means delayment and not denial. So just taking that away, being number one. Number two, you know, I've been taught that put God first, do anything that you do. Definitely number three would be when I came in, for those who don't know, I came from Granville Early College High School. And so I came in with 64 credits. And I met Dr. Jill Keith. And when I came in, you know, coming straight from high school, I had the opportunity. I was blessed with the opportunity to be able to attend Rendition because I just applied as a first-year student because I knew that eventually I was going to add on a major. And so, granted, I had my opportunity to experience everything. And coming from a predominantly white high school, out of 40 graduates, I was one of the five Black individuals that graduated. And so coming to HBCU, it has taught me the love of being a Black individual. It has taught me the love of perseverance and to not let anyone stop you in any obstacle, in any atmosphere. My HBCU, with the Winston-Salem State University, the illustrious university that it is, has has taught me nothing more but to keep going. It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at. It's just about where you're going. So it definitely has put the aspect into my heart, the love that I have for my university. Anybody that knows me know I'm going to talk about Winston-Salem State University all day, every day, Ram Fried, okay? So I love my university. And being that this wasn't going to be my top university, my top university actually was UNC Chapel Hill, but God had other plans. But God had other plans. He had other plans for me. And I'm so grateful. I'm so blessed. And I'm so, so, so thankful that I did choose Winston-Salem State because it has made me who I am today.
Yeah. Great. I mean, thank you for that. Thank you for thank you for all that energy. I love it. Every day, Ram Pride. All day, every day. I love that. Navier, you got tell us a couple takeaways. I know we got you out of the kitchen a little bit. So when you got out of the kitchen, what are some of the takeaways that you're going to carry with you?
When I came to WSSU, one of the first men that I met was, of course, Chancellor Robinson. I also met Mr. Orlando Mitchell, Mr. Theodis Chun, and Mr. Rashad Little. And those three men have showed me you know, and have taught me, you know, that when you come here and also in the world, you know your worth as a Black man, know your worth as a future HBCU graduate, and, you know, to always command your space. In whatever situation you're in, either you win or you lost, at the end of the day, you're a winner. And I think Winston-Salem State University has showed me and has showed the world that dare to be different. I think that Winston has always been a school that stood out. No matter cheerleaders, the band, academics, nursing, business, styles, trends, WSSU is a school that will tell you, dare to be different. You dare to be different, you're going to stick out. And you dare to be different, you're going to influence others and dare to be different. And we have everybody in their own lane doing creative things and, you know, making an impact for themselves and others. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to show that, you know, and sooner or later, 4 years later, 5,000 students are going to go out to the world and be there and dare to be different. And they're going to do that in their communities, their cities, their, you know, in at their job, wherever they are. Winston has shown me dare to be different, command your space. And I can honestly say that me going to Winston, my first year being at Winston, after that, any room I went into, any building I went into, I walked with pride, my head stood high, I know my chest was out. And I just knew, you know, right now I attend HBCU, I will be an HBCU graduate. And sooner or later, I will have my PhD from HBCU. And just going to Mississippi State University has just shown me that, you know, dare to be different, command your space, and know your worth. You're special.
Man, you guys have been great. I mean, you've given me so much uplift. I really appreciate that. Announcement was made today that Kamala Harris is the vice presidential running mate with Joe Biden. Kamala is from an HBCU, graduate from Howard University. What does that mean to you or for you, knowing that we could have potentially have a vice president that attended an HBCU? Give me your quick thoughts on that, because I have one more thing before I let you out of here. Okay.
I'll say something quick. There are no limits. Mm-hmm. Simple. There are no limits.
Yeah. And that's what it shows you, that you can do anything that you want to do. I love that.
That freshman female, that freshman lady who had just moved into Atkins or any dorm on campus, you know, 20 years later or even earlier than that, you could be the next vice president. And I think my beautiful Black queens around the world, they're seeing this right now, saying, one day I can do this. When we first got the first Black president, it was something major. But knowing that we can have the first Black female vice president, it's big. It's big. It changed the narrative. It changes our history. And I know for the better, I know that great things are going to come from me.
Yeah, I love that. Justin, you didn't tell me he was so smooth, man. I know he's been in the kitchen a lot, but you hear with that Black queen around the world kind of thing, I didn't know it was that smooth like that.
Also, I like to shout her out because, you know, she is, you know, the great friend Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. I'm also a brother of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Oh, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. Danielle, what are your thoughts? Hey.
I would say back to the whole thing about role models, seeing someone in the shoes that you wish you want to be in, that just is a lot more uplifting to see someone doing what you always envisioned what you wanted to do. So having a good role model, having someone there, it's really encouraging.
Fantastic. Shamari, you want to weigh in on this?
Yes, sir. I definitely would say this shows that this sets the standards. She's actually been set the standard, actually, because she was the second African-American to be in the Senate. So it definitely sets the standards, and it shows that as long as you persevere and you push, you can be anything. But anything greater than that, she's an African-American woman in a role and in a space that no one wants her in. And when she is in this role, she will be great, and it will definitely set the role, set the vision for the little ones who are looking up like, oh, she looks like me. I can do anything I want to be. I can be her. I can be the next her.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. I'm going to get you out of here. Tell me one thing you want to tell this year's class. Students are coming back to campus. Many of them would be their senior year, but they're going to have a great experience. Tell me one thing you would tell the class. Then I want you to tell me also, and I probably won't know because I'm always interested in Gen Zers. What are you listening to today? Who's your favorite artist right now? Who are you listening to? And if you're reading, tell me what you're reading right now. But get us out of here with one closing thought to this year's class, as well as what's your favorite artist, who you're listening to, and who you're reading?
Well, to the class of 2021, I definitely say that don't let this be a downer or a negative impact towards your school year. You have to learn to take things and make it positive, because at the end of the day, we don't know what blessing God has for us throughout this. One artist that I am listening to heavily is Lil Baby. I'm sorry, but
you don't have to be sorry. At least I know who that is. I mean,
it's Lil Baby. He has definitely, his words are definitely meaningful. And the book that I am actually finishing up is Michael Todd's Relationship Goals on Dating, Marriage, and Sex.
Great. Good enough. Next.
I think for me, I say this, these two things often, control what you can control and stay locked in. I think those are just two mantras that I just live by, just because you want to be able to, like I said, control what you can control, because you never know what would be thrown at you. And what I'm reading currently is The Richest Man in Babylon. I'm going into the finance route, so I'm really trying to be able to know how to handle my own money. So, and then what I'm listening to, I actually listened to some Kim in the shower today. I like slow music, but if I had a rapper, my favorite rapper right now is Gunna, just because of the way he flows.
Fantastic. Danielle?
I would say a huge takeaway would be to stay vigilant and be ready for your plan to change. I'm a planner. I will honestly say I have the next 5 years of my life planned out. But I'm ready for that plan to change. I'm ready to make new plans. I'm ready to fill things in, fill in the spot, be ready to pick up and move if I have to. If I have to stay here, awesome. I'm ready and set and ready to go. And to really just capitalize on opportunities. With online classes, I know it's hard to stay focused and to not sleep in, but I would say to make sure you stay disciplined, make sure you stay on top of your schoolwork, and just finish out the semester, because things are gonna look up. It'll pay off in the end. It'll all pay off in the end. And one thing I'm listening to, I would honestly say, is old Kanye. I've been bopping out to old Kanye West lately. He's been off the rails, but I just want to bring him back. And I feel like if I play old Kanye, he'll come back. And one thing I'm reading would be The Art of War, just navigating yourself and going over adversity, overcoming adversity. So I love classic novels.
Gotcha. Navier, take us home.
All right, I would say to the incoming freshman or any student now at any HBCU, I would say to love those who love you, and also know that it is not a rush. Life is not a rush. Your college experience, your 4 years, don't rush it. I say that because we always put times or dates on certain goals, and we shouldn't. Goals will come naturally. And I feel like, you know, many people, we kind of get sidetracked from rushing so much that we miss the important things. We don't cherish the process. And right now, I'm always listening to either Dave East or Nipsey Hussle. The book I'm reading right now is The Autobiography of Asada Shakur.
Yeah. Fantastic. You guys have been wonderful. You've made my night. I am motivated. I'm ready to get to work. Thank you for joining me on Future Focus Now. This has been a great show, everyone. Join us next week for another edition of Future Focus Now. We'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Good night.